Hey, welcome back. This is John Rickgarn, your host, as always, of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus podcast, coming to you on September 7th for episode number 47. Now, I've had a number of guests from Chris Miles in episode 40 and Barry Brooksby, a personal friend and mentor of mine, on episodes 3 and 45, and all talked about similar concepts with whole life insurance, the wealth maximization account, infinite banking, the and asset. Various euphemisms that you might hear out there. And maybe some of you are listening, it's like, oh, geez, do we need another podcast or another video on whole life insurance? I get it, I have it, or, well, this is a ripoff because Dave Ramsey says it is. And it's kind of because of those talk tracks, per se, I felt that it was prudent to have another episode on this and really kind of tie in some additional golden nuggets, tie-ins that I haven't really discussed before. Now, my guest today is actually Gary Pinkerton from Paradigm Life. And if you followed me for a number of years, Paradigm Life is where I got my first whole life insurance policy. Again, my agent was Barry Brooksby, and then he went off on to do his own firm with Focus Wealth. And as you may have guessed, Gary was another guest that I networked with and met on the Summit at Sand with the real estate guys back in 2021 in Belize. Had many great guests on this show. Gary's just one of many, and there are many that are queued up to come on the show. And really, I guess, enjoyed Gary's take on whole life insurance and maybe just insurance in general. And Gary is the first one to flat out admit not everyone should have whole life insurance. However, everyone should have some type of life insurance, even just a small, simple term insurance. And during today's podcast, we'll kind of be going back and forth with a number of scenarios where he would say, this is a great example for someone that should get whole life insurance. Here's a great example of someone that should not get whole life insurance. Myself and Gary and numerous other advisors and experts that I found on the show, all of us agree there is no one size fits all approach. So it's best to work with a financial advisor, a mentor that can custom tailor, whether it's policies or asset protection plans or everything for your financial foundation to have it tailored to your own individual needs. Kind of a summary, Gary is also a real estate investor, just like myself, an entrepreneur, and a fellow podcaster as well. Be sure to stay tuned. I've subscribed to his podcast and gone through about five episodes so far. And probably last but certainly not least, Gary is also a proud veteran of the United States military. So again, Gary, thank you for your service. It was a pleasure to have you on. It was a pleasure to meet you back in Belize in 2021, and certainly hope that our paths cross in the future. So with that, hope you enjoyed today's episode. I had a lot of fun recording this. Hope you get some little tidbits or takeaways from it. I myself had a great conversation with Gary. And as always, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to my podcast, whatever your preferred platform is on. Also, if you look above my shoulder, you can go to wfreedomnexus.com, as well as all my taglines for YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Speaking of YouTube, you can subscribe and click the bell so you never miss a video there. And be sure to follow along with at youtube.com/wfreedomnexus. There you can follow along with the various illustrations and graphics that obviously don't come across in an audio platform, like iTunes or Spotify as well, but you can get all that great information on YouTube. So with that, we'll dive into today's podcast with a word from today's sponsor. This week's podcast is brought to you by Focus Wealth Group. Do you know you need to get life insurance, but don't know where to start or how much to get? Have you heard of infinite banking, but not sure how it works? Reach out to Barry Brooksby and his team. Barry is not only a mentor, but a friend who has helped me for the past 6 years in my pursuit of cash flow and financial independence. Their mission is simple. They teach people how to make money and hold on to more money. Learn more and set up your free initial consultation at focuswealthgroup.com.
Are you tired of the 9-to-5 lifestyle? Do you want more freedom to do what you want, when you want it, without sacrificing your current income? Then this is the show for you. Every week, we dive into John's journey towards financial freedom and everything he has learned since 2014. Real estate investing, cryptocurrency, stocks, private lending, foreign residency, tax saving strategies, infinite banking, assets protection, and much more. Now, here is your host, the founder of the Wealth and Freedom Nexus, John Rickgarn.
Gary, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, John. I'm excited, man. It's a pleasure to be on, and I've always enjoyed connecting with you, you know, through all the social media stuff, and I love what you're doing for all your listeners. So hopefully we can add a little value or at least hold their interest today.
I agree. Yeah, I appreciate you coming on. I know it was, seems like longer than a year ago that we first met in Belize. It's like, oh, I got to get Gary on my show. And then before I know, it's like, oh, that was, you know, 14 months ago. I better get him on one of these days.
So, crazy. Yeah.
No kidding. So now, Gary, I've spoken, you know, a couple times on social media. I've had Barry Brooksby on twice on my show. I know you're familiar with him. And I know you work with Paradigm Life, which is actually the first company that kind of showed me the light or the evils of Dave Ramsey and Susie Orman's thinking, and actually thought, well, maybe I should take a second look at this whole life insurance thing. But maybe just to start off for my listeners, for those that have never, you know, heard of you or maybe even never heard of Paradigm Life, would you be able to just give us a, you know, quick background on yourself?
Yeah. And if you don't mind, I'll just share a screen a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. So let me know, does that come up?
Yep. Now it does.
Cool. So I gave a presentation with a group that I'm heavily involved with. I love real estate, and I'll talk you know, about why that kind of is an aspect of this that layers in with infinite banking. And so, as you mentioned, I work with Paradigm Life, so I'm kind of co-branding here my own personal line, strategic wealth in that. And so I live in the state of Florida, moved down here a couple of years ago, and this conference was here, and it was drawing a lot of people from Florida. So you can kind of take out of the picture the fact that it's Florida, but mainly just, you know, rental properties and things like that. And I talked about kind of mindset, culture, and action. And so I was going to set this aside apart a little bit from what my dear friend, awesome Barry Brooksby has talked to you about. And I think you said that Chris Miles has been on as well, kind of talking about different aspects of this approach. So Barry and I worked together for several years at Paradigm Life. I still dear friend. We work with their team. Just awesome guys. I think it's important to know who you're talking to, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm a real estate investor, entrepreneur, and business owner. And so that's who I try to work with. You know, I'm focusing very heavily now on business owners and, again, real estate investors. Yet both of those are entrepreneurs, and that kind of a client typically is a master at their area of expertise, yet they unknowingly bring on some tremendous risk in their area of expertise, and then they pass up completely often opportunities to make a ton of money outside of their focus area.
Okay.
And so I'm a guy in the financial services world whose job it is to go alongside my clients and build a bulletproof wealth strategy around what they're doing to help them achieve their financial goals with some accuracy.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm a financial advisor. I have been doing this since 2014, at least part-time. Yet my background is in engineering. I graduated from the Naval Academy as a mechanical engineer, added a nuclear engineering and master's from the University of Illinois right after that. And then I spent 25 years in the Navy Nuclear Submarine Force.
Oh, wow.
Which included commanding the USS Tucson in 2009 to 11 out of Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, as a fast attack nuclear submarine. So at the end of that time, you know, think of 2009 to 11, right? Pretty crazy time for personal finances. And I had been scratching and saving. I grew up on a dairy farm, really, really poor in the late 70s, early 80s. And the times that we're seeing right now with stagflation, with high inflation, high interest rates, was the same thing. Like the last time that happened was 40 some years ago, right? You always hear like today, inflation hit this month, 41 or 42 year high. That's because back then when I was graduating or when I was in high school, we were seeing like the real peaks, right? And so we had 21% interest rates on the farm, variable interest rate loans. Wasn't as obvious back then until that period that you shouldn't have variable interest rates.
Yeah.
And so we ended up like losing the farm. I was living in a trailer on my uncle's land, and I just wanted to get out of Illinois, frankly, running small businesses. My dad's health was failing, just trying to do whatever I could. I went to the Naval Academy because it was free and it was a good opportunity. And then, like I said, I got caught up in, that's my submarine there, but got caught up really in operating Navy nuclear power, and really enjoyed the whole concept of patriotism and service.
Okay.
And but near the end of that is, I, you know, this picture on the bottom is me giving up command of my submarine. And things were just crazy in my personal financial world. We had lost half of all the stuff that I'd skimped and you know, threw together for those 25 plus years. And yet, unlike on my submarine, where people come up to you and tell you like, hey, we have this leak and this is what we're going to do to fix it, right? And you get updated. Nothing. Silent is key from the people who had managed my money for all those years, right? And so it taught me a lot of things. And the engineer inside me needed to know what in the world had happened. So I threw myself at investing, real estate, business, and kind of a little bit at the markets too. And so that's what led me down this path to want to reposition where my wealth is away from all of the advice that you get from Susie and Dave, right? Mm-hmm. And instead kind of put it in a position where there's a lot more control in my own kind of, you know, world, right? So I felt like I had no control there. And the only thing that made me safe coming home on that submarine every time was having some kind of control over that harsh environment. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yep. No, it does. So,
yeah. And so I, you know, like I said, I threw myself into that and I started learning about strategies I'd never heard of before. And one of those was infinite banking, right? It was high cash value whole life insurance, which, like you said, had been really demonized out there.
Yep.
Right. And so, and listen, I think actually Dave Ramsey does a tremendous job for, and Susie Orman for the right target, right audience, right? But your listeners are not their target audience.
Right.
We think we are until we realize that this is not working in our world. Right. And so I thought I was their audience, frankly. I thought it worked to kind of hand your money off to somebody else in a basket of stocks, bonds, and mutual funds and pay no attention to it. Like that's that guy's job, right? The professional to do that. Yet in the real world, I think you can look at all kinds of examples of trying to hand things off to other people that does not work out well, right? Mm-hmm. Our children's education, you know, ethics, all this kind of stuff. So I dove down into it to figure out how you set up life to move forward, you know, move forward continuously from that point forward. So I'm a huge fan of rental real estate. The reason I am is because it forms this fundamental investing layer of things. And you're able to lock in this long-term fixed rate leverage and it provides cash flow. So all of those things are elements that cause the wealthy in America, first generation wealth or sixth generation wealth, like they all have that in common. They have positive cash flow and they have some protection over their assets so they can't, you know, they don't lose them. They have some guarantees and they have things that put them on the right side of the table, the same side of the table as the Federal Reserve when it comes to inflation and things like that, right? Inflation makes you wealthy if you're holding on to an asset that has long-term fixed rate debt on it, right? And you'll see these amazing parallels between whole life insurance and real estate. For example, term insurance. You should buy term insurance and invest the difference, right? That's the advice we get. And term insurance is a great product. It really is. It's just like renting a house. Like if you didn't have term insurance, you couldn't rent the insurance to protect your family.
Right.
And if we didn't have rental or rental properties, then people couldn't very inexpensively each month put a roof over their family's head. Like that's important stuff. Yet what you have to realize, and this switch seems to flip more easily for clients, for people, humans, with real estate than it does with insurance. Like there comes this point where you're like, why am I paying all this money to that evil landlord? That's me. Like, why am I paying my money to that guy? Right. Yeah. Like it's not growing my wealth. Right. Because the underlying asset grows equity and that money that I'm spending every month is actually going to help build that equity. Mm-hmm. So it's both appreciating and I'm paying off this mortgage. Like it's all good stuff. Same thing with whole life insurance versus term. Whole life insurance, when you stick the money in there, it's building equity. And the thing is appreciating over time because it's growing. The insurance company puts the money to work and it grows it in the economy, right? And you know, historically, it's been in this low interest rate or what last year was a low interest rate environment. It was 4 to 5% without taxes, right? So those two are very, very similar. Term insurance is awesome, has a great place in this world, but it's not when you flip the switch to say, Dave and Susie, thank you for getting me to where I am. You got me onto dry land from this kind of quicksand, right? But now I need to move on. There's a graduate course. I need to move level, right? And so real estate and infinite banking as a foundation really, really get you there. Okay. So I kind of love this quote from Tony Robbins. And really, you know, the amount of certainty or uncertainty you can handle, really uncertainty that you can handle in your life is what puts the spice of life in there. It's what allows us to go, you know, when we go on vacation to go explore places. It's what has us want to go skydiving and scuba diving, right? And it's what has us wanting to get up every day and expand our business and try some new venture to add more value to the world. Yet we don't go after that uncertainty. This is huge in my world. We don't go after that uncertainty unless we have something, some kind of a thing to make to know that our family, we're not leaving our family hanging out to dry, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say that my family only eats because I go out and get a W-2 income. Like I go out and produce and I get the food at the end of the day and they eat that day. And if I don't do that, if I'm sick or whatever, they don't eat, right? Well, yeah. If I was in that situation, I wouldn't go skydiving because if I die, like they're all left out there with nothing, right? And I wouldn't start a business that may take 4 or 5 years to grow, right? So you've got to have some certainty, some kind of a parachute or backstop in your world to give you, to enable you to go out and take these massive risks and, you know, return the massive gain. And that's the thing that many people are missing is that the certainty is the kind of the foundation underneath everything. Patrick Donahoe always talks about it as the roots. Most trees have roots that extend 3 to 4 times as far as the leaves and branches do, but you don't never see them, right? It's quietly down there underneath, but it's the roots that allow you to go up and outward and do all the amazing things that we do with our businesses and in our personal lives. The roots are what allows us to do that. And so many people have this tree sticking in the ground and the first time that a hurricane comes by, which is what I'll call 2008, if you were owning real estate, it just knocks it over, right? Because they didn't know that it was, you know, this money, all this stuff underneath down here, sitting in your savings or checking account, it seemed wasteful. Like, why don't I use this and go put it into another property? Well, we learned, right, why that is. And the wealthy, generationally wealthy people don't do that. They have a foundation underneath things. And so, okay, here's my other little soapbox. So I teach people that what my job is to help them put agency in their life. And, and that's why I left the military early in 2016 was because I wanted to, you know, I had redefined in this this whole mission I went through, I had redefined what service and patriotism meant to me. And I think it is about helping America get back on solid footing and putting agency in everyone's life. I should have put a little A on this dude's chest, but there's kind of a two-part message to this little character here, that we are all the superhero in our family's lives, right? Because they are safe by virtue of the fact that we know how to go out, add value, and get paid, whether it's a business or a W-2 job, whatever it is. So we are an agency person. We are the person who can help our family make their own independent financial decisions and take actions. Like Sue and I didn't like what was happening in New Jersey during the start of COVID. So now we're Florida citizens, right? And we redefined our world because we had put agency in our lives. But if we were hand to mouth kind of with our paychecks working for an employer, I'd have made a lot different decisions and probably would have been living a lot less inspired life. I want to help everybody put agency in the world, and agency looks like a solid liquid foundation that they can count on that's guaranteed for them. And then cash flow coming into their world that doesn't necessarily have to come from them working all day. And then you know, things like businesses and things like that. So I've just been rambling on and on. Are we okay?
This week's podcast is brought to you by Spartan Invest. Spartan currently manages hundreds of turnkey properties across Alabama and Tennessee, and is where I personally bought my first out-of-state turnkey property. In fact, I have two properties with them now, and both tenants just renewed for another 2 years. That should tell you the quality of their team and their due diligence. If you are a first-time investor or looking to expand your real estate portfolio, check out SpartanInvest.com. Oh, no, you're good. One thing that just popped out, and maybe it kind of sounds like a paradox. You just said the solid liquid foundation, which I don't know, back to physics, you have solids, you have liquids. Might want to maybe expand on that a little bit more. I think I get what you're saying, but I'll just let you speak on that. So,
solid meaning that you can count on it, that it's a foundational layer. So think of this pyramid, the Egyptian pyramids or the Mayan pyramids that have lasted for thousands of years.
Yeah.
A pyramid is a pretty stable structure in physics, yet it only stands for thousands of years if you spend the time to put all of the bricks in the lower layer down here. Mm-hmm. And if your listeners would like, I can get them a electronic and audiobook copy of Patrick Donahoe's book, Heads I Win, Tails You Lose. Okay. Awesome book. In there, in chapter 7, he talks about this analogy or this concept of what we call hierarchy of wealth. And it's a foundational layer of how we help clients grow wealth for generations. And the premise, the concept is that what we've learned after hundreds of thousands of hours with tens of thousands of clients at this point is that there's a relationship you can count on. This whole risk versus return thing I learned is just a great marketing tool. But one you can count on is that the amount of control you have over your money and your situation, your business, whatever, that is inversely proportional to the risk you're taking on. So if you are in a high control position, you're very low in this thing, which means that your risk is also very low. And okay. Vice versa. If I have absolutely no control, then I'm taking massive risk, right?
Makes sense. Yep.
So when I said the solid liquid, right, it builds a solid foundation for your family's wealth, you know, a stable foundation that you can count on with guarantees. Yet the money that's inside these infinite banking policies are liquid, right?
Gotcha. It's
as liquid as it is in a checking account. That was awesome to pull that out. And then above that, you know, are the three different layers of investing. And so we run a holistic program of Paradigm Life. We help our clients figure out where are they missing bricks. You know, maybe the bricks are down here in the direct investing world. Maybe they should put some rental properties or businesses or something here. In the direct control, direct investing world, very low risk because you're high insight and high control here. And then perhaps move into things like syndications, invest in other people's businesses, and then maybe even from there up to more speculative type things. But most of America has all their money up here. And so my story in 2011 was I need to move money from here down to somewhere where it's in more control. And I was about to put all my cash repositioned from the brokerage accounts down into down payments on rental properties. And then I met Patrick Donahoe. I looked deeper into it. I did the math and realized that what I really want to do is put this money in, you know, in the foundation down here. And something where it's going to grow in the background, even when I use it. And that was kind of the big thing that I had missed. Okay. So as a quick example, my first property, I wanted to look out 25 years at this new fourplex I was buying in 2011. And I needed a $50,000 down payment. I could either take the money out of a checking account, put it in the property, kind of lock it up in house jail.
Yep.
and when I'm done 25 years later, I've got, you know, $25,000 sitting inside that property. And it probably has went up in value and did all its stuff. The 25 is still kind of locked up in the drawer there, right? Or I could borrow the money from somebody else and pay them back with the cash flow over time. Mm-hmm. And when you play those two things out, what you realize is that on the one on the, you know, using the checking account, I still have the 50K. I could sell the property, get my down payment back, right? And then maybe I have a 10 or 12% a year return on the actual property, right? Got the same return on the property over here on the other side. But the fact that I left my $50,000 sitting down here in the foundation caused it to turn into $176,000.
Wow.
Like a 5 to 6% return at the time, which is the analysis that happened back in 2011. And then I borrow against that thing at the same 6%, which today they're both those numbers are lower.
Sure.
And so it cost me about $47,000 to borrow and repay 47 of interest. To borrow and repay that 50K down payment.
Okay.
But during that time, I grew my money at like 167 or 170 something, right? So there's about a $120,000 difference between those two. So I kind of approximated. I'll show you the real math if anybody
wants to. Well, I think I've heard it on other podcasts and shows too, where you give the analogy, you take $50,000 out of a checking account or money market account or whatever, and you move it over. Rental property, your rental property is growing in value, but your checking account, savings account isn't because you just took the money out. However, it's leverage and you're essentially borrowing money, you're collateralizing it. Effectively, your money is still growing in your policy, but then it's also growing in the rental property that you put in as well.
That's right. Yeah. So if you don't have the policy side of it, so when the cash flow comes back, unless you're spending every penny of it every month, but some people are, right? But if you're not doing that, if you're still growing for the future, then you're taking it from a house where it's not earning anything and putting it into a checking account where it's not earning anything. Right? Yeah. And then entire time going forward, you have dead equity there in both those situations, right? So you want to always position your wealth in a place where it's going to grow in the background. And compounding of that wealth without taxes makes a huge difference.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, you know, one of the other things that we found after all of these years with clients is that all of our clients, and I would argue after studying the generational wealthy people in America back into the 1700s, I would say that everyone who's going to be successful is operating their life on these two parallel paths, right? And so there's a protection path, and that means protection from things like liability, disability, and death. And then, you know, it's really about the type and kind of amount of that. And then there's this wealth accumulation path, the one that everyone focuses on, right? And the wealth accumulation path is all about capital and having that capital available for short-term and long-term needs. And certainly also a retirement, if that's kind of in the picture, to kind of kick back and slow things down a little bit. So that's the wealth accumulation path. And the reason that there's these two paths is because this green line is what it looks like to grow wealth, right? Like this is what wealth accumulation looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And as we like to point out, an important point for clients, all of, or at least a majority of the wealth accumulation happens on the right-hand side of this picture, right? But it's the job of the protection path to actually help us get here. Like we're not entitled to this curve. It's not like we can put $15,000 in a 401k and then have it just, you know, magically show up on the right-hand side.
Right.
So there's all kinds of things that can disrupt that from happening, right? So like, you know, job loss, disability, There's just a ton of things that can cause us not actually ever to get to the point where wealth accumulation occurs. Mm-hmm. And so my role, again, come alongside my clients, take a snapshot and a look at where are they with in this situation, where are the vulnerabilities, where they're taking those excessive risks, and kind of smooth that out and help them walk along this curve for the rest of their life. And so in the end, this, you know, Patrick calls it a wealth maximization account. It's more commonly called like infinite banking, right?
Sure.
It's a high cash value policy. And so its job is to be this place where you store and grow wealth, where it's in its liquid form, yet it's also growing at 4-5% with no taxes, right? Mm-hmm. Internally growing. And then you access it, borrow against it, do these kinds of investments, put the bricks in the upper layers, if you will, and then just continue to cycle through that process.
Now, looking at the pyramid here, Gary, and again, for those listening on Spotify or iTunes, whatever, feel free to check out my YouTube so you can follow along with the graphics that Gary's showing. Now, you have legacy stocks at the very top, and I think, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, I think we've just been, I don't know, brainwashed, I don't know, lack of a better term, from day one of just put all your money into stocks, and that's the foundation. Yeah. What do you see, especially with your clients, that, I mean, yeah, there's probably already, always someone that bought into Apple when it was $2 a share, whatever it was, and now I'm a multi-billionaire. But for most people, what has been their experience of putting all their eggs in one basket, so to speak, in the stock market, and then later on when they're getting close to retirement, of how that's actually panning out?
Yeah, you know, I talk about it as, we're using a lot of peaks here, but I talk about it, if you can visualize like climbing a mountain during your working years, right? And so most people out there are putting their security in a pile of money. Right. So They're climbing up this pile of money and they've got some number up at the top. So it's $2 million, $5 million, $1 million, whatever it is. Yep. But you have this number. And so in your mind, you're like, I'm going to retire at age 60 with $2 million. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're 55 doing a check-in with your advisor and you just went through the most recent correction or whatever, well, now you're like 500 and you were supposed to be at 950. and it's frustrating. Right. Yet you can make some decisions. I can work longer. I can swing for the fences and try for a higher interest rate. Don't recommend that one.
Sure.
I can just adjust the number. Like I'm only going to 1 million now, not 2. So Like you can still control it. But this crazy thing happens when you shift from accumulation to distribution. So you have the fun party and you get the gold watch or whatever, and you say goodbye to everybody. And then you wake up at 10 a.m. every day, right? And I'm just kind of making fun. But you see your other neighbors and everyone's asking the same question, like, you know, how are we going to do during this period? Like, what's your strategy? Like, nobody's advisor has a strategy how to make it down the other side. Uh-huh. And you can't blame them too much, because there's a really, really important missing point to how to make the money last to the end. We don't know what the end is. Right?
Exactly.
So we don't know how, you know, everyone's like, I'm going to make my last check bounce. And I'm always very intrigued. I'm like, well, how do you know when the last check's coming? Right. So that's why it's so hard. And why it doesn't work to put all of your faith in this pile of money. Mm-hmm. The pile of money doesn't keep us safe. Go back to the picture of the superhero. That's what keeps us safe. We have to be able to put in place tools and things so that we continue to personally add value. Because if every day we wake up and we can count on ourselves and the family can count on us, then I don't care what happened to the pile of money. It doesn't matter if some guy took the money, right? So that's why I say putting your focus on a pile of money is risky. And it's a lot more risky when you put it in the hands of somebody else.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so And I'm not saying that everybody out there is a crook. I'm saying that your advisor, even though he likes you a lot and has been very successful, he's going to think about his own family and his job and, you know, more than he's going to think about your family. It's just, you're not in front of him every day. It's just not going to be, maybe if you're a next door neighbor and you waved at him every day when he went to work, you'd have a better chance, but it's just human nature, right? Yeah. Plus, again, the whole point of this hierarchy of wealth pyramid is that you take on risk when you personally have less control over the situation.
Yeah.
So I put legacy stocks up there, but it's the last thing I'd recommend putting any money into because they're making decisions at the board meetings every week that you're not part of, right? And the CEO that they hire, like they didn't ask you about that, right?
Yeah. So,
right? And so you have less control. I know it's more work, but listen, I think if everybody were to just think about it, everything in life is that way. Like we've been sold a bill of goods that we can just hand off our family's financial future to some other guy who's, quote, a professional, and they can take care of it for us. And that's just a big bag of hogwash.
Yeah.
Because, like, heck, if that's successful, I got a lot of other ideas. I'm gonna outsource somebody keeping my wife happy for me so that I start- You just walk by the door. That's hilarious, right? So, you know, and I'm gonna like, okay, here's a, you know, this may seem crazy to everybody since I was 25 years or 30 years almost in the military, but I hate working out. I've hated it every day I did it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just gonna outsource that too. Like trainer, I'll pay you double. You work out, make sure I lose weight, right?
Yeah.
Or like teaching our kids ethics and culture. We've tried that in America too. And a lot of people are scrambling to go back to homeschool, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know why we bought into that silliness. I mean, I do know why. It started with pensions in the, you know, before the 1960s. And then they said, hey, you guys are on your own. But here's you know, a package where you can point and click and put your money in the markets, right? Like, so they made it simple and we didn't teach in financial education. So that's just what people were left with.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to help people, again, pull that control back, pull that agency back into their world. And so they don't have to get up and do things that, well, are maybe things they wouldn't, decisions they wouldn't otherwise make. You know, I have a lot of friends who left the military when they weren't planning on it because they didn't have any choice, right? And so you want to set up your lives if you can so that you have better choices that, you know, you can control.
Makes sense. All right.
So why real estate, right? So we talked about that. So that just layers right on top of this infinite banking approach or wealth maximization account. Mm-hmm. And I think in here I might have a couple of pictures. Actually, I don't. But so no pictures on the actual banking system yet. A lot of people are listening podcast anyway, right?
Sure.
So you can think of it as a 150-year-old product whose job it is with whole life insurance, similar to like, you know, again, buy in your house. You're putting money into it over a long period of time. You get full access to that house at the very beginning and you're paying for it over time, right? And they're growing the equity inside it. Same thing with whole life insurance. You can go with term insurance, a great way to push risk to the insurance company, but whole life insurance been around for, you know, 150 years in America. And the whole model is collect, protect, and grow money in a predictable manner and add company profits to it because it's a mutual company and we're the owners. And so all the profits go back into the policies. So collect, protect, and grow money and give you access to that money throughout your lifetime. You can add a couple features to it. Really kind of three total features, the base policy and this thing called paid-up additions. And then you can add even another one to kind of blend some stuff together and you can get a much more efficient thing. Because what we're trying to do is get access to the cash really early in the policy. And so there are people who will tell you that, hey, my grandpa had a whole life insurance and he didn't have any access to the cash. He never borrowed against that thing, right? And even if you go look at a policy, old school one designs today, there's not access to much of the cash in the first couple of years. But the way we design them, we give you access to the cash, you know, let's call it 80% of it on day one. By year five, you have access to everything you've put into the policy. And so it kind of graduates 80, 85, 90, 95, up to 100. And then, you know, 15 years into it, you got 200% of what you've contributed. So, you know, it's really starts to compound and you have full access to whatever cash is in there. Again, about 80% of your contributions are available on day one, and then it grows pretty quickly from that point. And that's just because you're optimizing it for access to cash, not necessarily just the death benefit.
Sure. And I think, at least in my experience, that's kind of the big hiccup that people see when, you know, they just like a term and whole life at face value. And, oh, this term life gives me $1 million death benefit or whatever it is, and I pay $30 a month, and this whole life insurance policy gives me a death benefit of $1 million, but it's $200 a month or whatever the numbers come to. And I think that's just what people get hung up on is they just look at the death benefit. this death benefit is cheaper. Okay, I'll go with that. But yep. I think Barry always put it best as it's called life insurance for a reason. It's not death insurance. So,
yeah. Yeah. I love the death benefit side of it. You know, very quick story. When I was buying my, so I got permission from my wife back when she was a busy nursing student and paying no attention to real estate, had no experience with it. This is 10 years ago. I briefed her on and got her buy-in for the first two properties. And then I was like, okay, well, she gets it. So I bought like 3, 4, and 5, went into contract on them all at once and sprung it on her at our anniversary. Now, most people out there would say, man, that was a bad idea before I even tell you what happened. Right. But I don't know, whatever. I was busy and, you know, I just commanded a submarine a couple of years ago. So, man, I was Mr. Take Charge. And she freaked out, as you would imagine.
Yeah.
And she said, like, hey, what if you die? I don't have any idea how to run these properties. And there's all this debt on these things. Right. And so it popped into my mind a few minutes later that, you know, do you remember how we funded these things? Like, there's this $2 million of death benefit out there that's there really just because we use this thing as a more banking system. And when I saw the color kind of return to her, you know, to her face, I realized that, wow, this makes it means more to my spouse than it did to me at the time. Like I was all busy beating up Patrick Donahoe on how can I do this without any death benefit?
Yeah.
And so it does have value. Yet going back to the comparison between real estate and life insurance, like I find it really funny that everyone's like, buy term insurance and invest the difference in the markets. You'll make a lot more money, right? Yep. Well, that's assuming you like the markets, and most of your listeners and my listeners don't like the markets as much as they like directly owned business and real estate, right? Mm-hmm. But the other part of that is we never say rent your house for the rest of your life and put the difference in the markets, right? So if you wanted a high-end, like lots of death benefit or lots of house, right? You would go to like Miami and rent a $5 million beachfront condo for like $2,000 a month or something, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if you were going to pay the mortgage on that bad boy, it'd be over $10,000 or $12,000 a month.
Yeah.
So just rent it and take the difference and put it into the markets. But people don't do that because they know it's not common sense. Like in their gut, they know that doesn't work. Okay. But yeah, for some reason, with really good marketing, we've decided it does work with a parallel asset that builds equity, gives you amazing tax benefits, right? So don't rent your family's death benefit, buy it when you're in a situation where you can do it, right? Makes a ton more sense. So on that, for the people who are on the podcast, you know, I have this two more quick little plugs. I mean, one of the things I'm very passionate about is family wealth and legacy. And we have this program about how to teach the next generation and then the grandkids and the great grandkids mm-hmm. about what we've learned, right? And so one of the things that's risky about getting successful, going from dirt poor like I did to being fairly comfortable and well off, is, you know, that came from tons of 18-hour days, right? That I'm not even going to stop, maybe ever. But if I don't take the time to teach my kids and the grandkids, then you just set up this typical 3 generation shirt sleeves of shirt sleeves. Like the kids see me working hard and they're probably thinking, I don't want to do that. And thankfully, I don't have to because he made all the money, right? But the grandkids aren't even going to know where it came from. Yeah. And so my kids may be prudent enough not to blow everything, but the grandkids were totally lost on. And so there's this, there are some really important and helpful programs out there that I've studied like crazy to put in place for my kids and my clients. And if they're interested, I'd be happy to help them with that. And then finally, I lead a virtual community of people in support and reverence to Ayn Rand and her book, Atlas Shrugged, which is trying to attract producers in this world, not the entitled consumers, but the producers who are interested in holding on to retaining and improving this amazing country that our founding fathers put in place. And so if you go find my podcast, Gary's Gulch, you'll see that there's the Liberty Bell in reverence to the founding fathers and the American flag, because I left the military, not because I was not a patriotic guy, because I redefined it to helping individuals obtain agency in their world.
Well, I appreciate that. And yeah, for those listening to this, you know, on the road or working out, I'll definitely have links to all these in the show notes here, so you don't have to hit rewind and try to search for it later. So how long has your podcast been out, Gary? This is actually the first time I've heard about that. So,
it's a little over 2 years or going on 2 years.
Okay.
I remember I started it right around the election time. We had just moved to Florida and I got a little political there in the beginning and things didn't actually turn out the way I said. So if you want to have a laugh at me, go back to look at like episodes 10 to 30 or something like that.
All right.
But the first ones, the first 5 or 6 was a series of kind of descriptions and essays, very short ones, 6 minutes or so long. And they really, you know, kind of summarize nicely what we just talked about here about how you build wealth and why this is important and why building building upon and protecting what our founding fathers put in place is essential for America. Mm-hmm. And 2 years later, we need even a bigger megaphone to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, and as we're recording this right now, I think they just passed by, basically by the tiebreaker vote of VP Kamala Harris, the Inflation Reduction Act, which I think basically just means inflation is going to go up even higher. And, numerous changes coming down the line before midterms. And I think you and I are both on the same wavelength. It's like, you know, you have to produce more than you consume. You have to contribute to society. You have to create value in order to get paid. You have to, I don't want to say like get a job per se, but be self-reliant and self-sufficient, not just say, oh, the government's going to take care of me. The family's going to take care of me. My employer's going to take care of me. I'm going to have my student loans waived and, you know, universal basic income and all these other, you know, socialist ideas, shall we say. And to me, I think, whole life insurance is definitely a capstone, but definitely a good base for that.
It is. Yeah. It's a place to store that agency that you have in your life. Right. And the inflation production bill is what I've retitled it to. Yeah. The inflation production bill is an attack on small business. 87,000 new IRS agents, $10 billion going towards breaking down all of the small business tax deductions, the small business investor deductions. And it's a huge push of money up towards, you know, the ultra wealthy that really support the Democrats. So this is something, you know, like the government wants to get you dependent so that they can bail you out and they can say what you can and can't do. And that's, you know, basically just pulling away agency. They want to take agency away. And so if you're a small business and interested person, or you're a real estate investor, or you're somebody who just wants to hold on to freedom for your family, man, please come see my podcast and let's work together.
So, yeah, I appreciate that. So maybe, as we're wrapping this up, any final, words for my listeners, or maybe, as an advisor in your, 6 years of doing this, is there, one question you hear the most from potential clients, or one thing you wish others knew, or any like last words of wisdom, shall we say?
You know, so the biggest question I always hear is why doesn't everybody do this, or why haven't I? And we've gone down that path, right? So like there's a lot of, A.L. Williams in the 1960s said, hey, buy term insurance and invest the difference in the markets. And the Wall Street guys are like, wait a minute, did he say invest the difference in the markets?
Yeah.
Let's advertise on this guy's show. Like, bring him out here for lunch, right? And so he started a company, Primerica, which essentially, down the road, it became Primerica. But essentially it is, don't get that crazy whole life stuff. It costs too much. Get some of this cheap term insurance we have. And then we'll help you manage your money for a percentage of it every year, right? So there's a big push that direction. That's primarily why people haven't heard about it. It's also delayed gratification, right? I told you it takes 5 years to have as much available as you put in there. Well, just put in a metal can at home. It's more accessible when I go blow it this weekend, right? And I don't have to like wait 5 years for there to be more cash than I actually even put in. Mm-hmm. So delayed gratification really plays in there a lot as well. How big does it have to be for me to get started, or how small can I get started? Okay. And that's a little bit different at each age. Like if you're 80, I can't start one at $500 a month for you. But if you're 10 years old, it's actually hard to do much more than about $500 a month.
Right.
So it, because the cash that we put into this banking system also has an associated amount of death benefit with it, the numbers, for a few $100,000 of death benefit, they're kind of wacky on a 1-year-old compared to an 80-year-old. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that it costs more, unquote, for an 80-year-old. The returns, the internal rates of return, tax-free kind of internal rate of return, is going to be in the 3-5% regardless of your age. Assuming the person's healthy, right?
Yeah.
So it's just you have to play at a higher level when you're older. So I would tell somebody who's in their 40s, if you can't save $500 to $1,000 a month, this really isn't the vehicle, right? It's just, we can do it smaller, but it's really not the vehicle. But it's perfect for $5,000 a year on somebody who's under the age of 20. It's perfect. We scale it to every person's situation. There's been very few people that I meet where I say, I can't put this in place for you and your family at all. Because everyone's got a child or grandchild or somebody that they can put the, even if they're not healthy themselves. But the key thing is the people that I've typically said, let's get back together in 6 months. It's people who have crushing credit card debt or consumer mm-hmm. debt or don't have any savings at all. I mean, it's not appropriate or prudent for me to say, let's start this life insurance policy, even though you have $5 in your checking account. Mm-hmm. Like they need to put money into an account and prove they can keep it there for a few months before I make some of it illiquid.
Sure.
Right. And start down this path. So, you know, who's a four, who's a not four? That's a common question. I mean, in the end, it's for everyone, but maybe not the snapshot of where you are today. If you need to get your arm around, you know, I tell people, like, imagine you're an EMT and you show up at a scene, or I'm the EMT and I open the door to see my new client and they're complaining about scratches on their head or maybe a headache they have. But I'm looking down and I see a femoral artery, you know, that's bleeding out, right?
Yeah.
So like if you have big credit card debt and stuff like that, I'm happy that you're excited about infinite banking or real estate, but you need to get your hands around the thing that's actually bleeding out, which is 25% interest rate credit cards. And,
exactly.
And, you know, and so I think we're in a recession today. I think history will show us that we started it back at the beginning of 2022. And you know, that's a time where people want to have a lot of cash sitting around. I mean, cash is trash unless you actually need it, right?
And so,
your job is at risk, or, you know, if you, or if you think there's going to be great buying opportunities, which I think is going to happen, you know, having cash sitting around is a really good idea in times of uncertainty, because it provides a certainty, kind of circling all the way back to the beginning of where we started.
Exactly. Well, like you said, having cash on hands, I can't remember who was it, the Rothschilds or someone that said, buy when there's blood in the streets, even if it's your own blood. And I think that's where a lot of wealthy come in, where 2008 crash or 2020, you know, March stock crash, you know, that's where the money's made.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. Cause everybody else is emotionally, I mean, we all make decisions emotionally. You know, but 2020 was a classic example of whether your emotions, you know, how to set up your financial life so that the emotions don't get in front of you.
Yeah.
So I had, you know, clients across the financial spectrum in 2020. And I didn't really know how to help everyone when everything was shutting down. So I just started meeting with people and having conversations with them so that I could learn as well what was most needed. And what I learned was that it was a very polarizing event. It took something that looked like a basketball and turned it into one of the dumbbells at the gym, right? Everyone just moved to the edges. They were either scared to death that they were going to starve or and lose all their businesses and everything. Or they were giddy as a little school kid and wondering when those opportunities were going to come, right? So when there's blood in the street, which are you going to be? The one who's like, yeah, that's coming for me and I'm at my last days here. Sorry, family, I blew it for us.
Yeah.
Or oh my gosh, isn't this amazing? I can help all these people by helping them have housing right now when they can't afford it. And I can help them by starting a business that will, you know, so like, am I inspired by the current situation or am I freaked out? I mean, that really goes back to the Chinese symbol of you know, opportunity is opportunity rides on the winds of danger, right? So it's the same symbol is both danger and opportunity.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so when there's blood in the streets, that represents opportunity and danger. And it's just a question of how have you set up your financial life to take advantage of it. And the people that were giddy little school kids, they had a ton of cash sitting around in the foundation, whether it's in a policy or in a checking account. I had a guy who had 700 grand in a checking account. His concepts made total sense to me. And he didn't end up putting in a life insurance policy, but I bet you today he's still fine and he probably picked up some great opportunities, you know, at the end of 2020. So I think that's where you need to be positioned.
All right.
So if you can clear your mind, you can think rationally, not freak out and emotionally sell everything at the wrong time.
Exactly. It's a buy low, sell high, not buy high and sell low.
Right. But people get caught up in those emotions because they have not set up their financial life to keep them calm.
Exactly.
Cool, man. This has been fun.
Yeah, I've enjoyed a lot from this conversation. I'm actually looking forward to checking out your podcast as well, Gary. If anyone of my listeners is interested in, you know, talking to you or, you know, learning more about infinite banking or the wealth maximizing account, what's the best way to reach out to you?
Yeah, so you just, it's just my name. So Gary@GaryPinkerton.com.
Thank you for listening.
Be sure to share,
rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more updates, check out www.wealthandfreedomnexus.com. Remember, nothing on this show should be considered tax, legal, investment, or professional advice. Right. This show is produced solely for educational and informational purposes. Please consult an appropriate and licensed tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for specific advice for your situation. For distribution or publication rights or media interviews, please contact the host.